We're coming up to a big milestone in our shared history. Just under a year ago, a bunch of us stood up and committed to journey together as a congregation here. And so over the last 12 months, we've met together regularly to sing and pray and listen to the scriptures and to eat and drink together. And as we've engaged in these fundamental disciplines of the committed Christian life, we've been travelling with Jesus. For when we gather around word and table, bread and stories, then Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life and the Word made flesh, has promised to be among us. We know that he keeps his promise, not only because he's trustworthy, but because of the sense of the Spirit that many of us feel from time to time. Perhaps you felt it, maybe on a special occasion, like when we welcomed and prayed for baby Tessa. Maybe on an ordinary day, when someone wrestled with an ancient story or described an encounter with God. Perhaps you noticed the Spirit on a day when we listened well to one another and sang with one voice. Or when you saw an older child guide a younger. Or over dinner when we all talked together. Many of our visitors have felt it. "It feels like the Axe Church," said one. This sense of Spirit, the presence of the risen Christ among us, is an extraordinary gift, and it's leading to growth. Some of us are reporting new depths of faith and a new awareness of God's presence. Some of us are discerning new gifts to offer the wider community. And some of us are simply growing up. And it's been a wonderful beginning and a wonderful first year together. Next week, it will be time to commit for the second year. Those who are willing will be invited to stand up and commit to journey together as a body of Christ. The commitment will include some simple attitudes and practices which will help knit us together. These include promises to meet regularly, to practice hospitality, and to seek justice and reconciliation. None of this is rocket science. And at heart, these promises are about one thing only: learning to become brothers and sisters who are walking in love with Jesus Christ. For that is what it means to be the church. We are a people who gather around word and table, bread and stories, because we know that when we do these things, Christ is with us and we are knit together in love. When we do these things, we become a sign of the kingdom, a place filled with the Spirit of love, a place where we practice loving not just the people we like, but each person we encounter, a place where God's word and God's love are written on our hearts, a place where that love is nurtured and grows and finds all sorts of ways to express itself in people and projects and all sorts of possibilities. So what is this love like? Well, we catch a glimpse in tonight's story. Joseph had every reason to hate his brothers. They envied him so much that they threw him down a mine shaft, then drew him up and sold him to slave traders who were heading into Egypt. Because of his brothers, Joseph had been enslaved, and then he lived in prison for years. Although he's now a big man in Egypt, he is still in exile. He is still a very long way from his father's home. Now his brothers have come before him. It's been a long time. A whole lot has happened and they no longer recognize him. He even has an Egyptian name. And so Joseph has a choice. Can he trust them with his true identity? If he doesn't, they will never have even the possibility of a real relationship. If he does, he risks being treated with falseness or with further contempt. His brothers may still be driven by old envy, old desires, old history. He doesn't know. Joseph takes the risk. He decides to trust. He reveals his identity. but his brothers are trapped in their history. They panic and they cannot speak. In the face of their dismay, Joseph continues. He refuses to blame his brothers. Instead, he attributes everything to God, for he ended up in a position to save the nations from starvation because of his brothers' actions. So he begs his brothers to let go of their self-hatred and their distress. He offers them gifts and a place to call home. In his vulnerability, he weeps over them and he kisses them, and finally his brothers relax and are able to speak. How good it is, as the psalm says, when brothers and sisters live in peace with one another. In this story, Joseph demonstrates an extraordinary freedom. He relinquishes all claims on his brothers except that of love. He has given up bitterness and resentment and revenge. He said no to punishment. He doesn't ask his brothers to castigate or hate themselves. He has opted out of the cycles of violence and retribution, and instead, Joseph acts on his own terms. This freedom enables him to show forgiveness to those who hurt him. It allows him to show an extraordinary generosity to those who took everything he had. It lets him offer a home to those who sent him away from his own home, and it leads to reconciliation. Now, Joseph isn't perfect. There's plenty of trickery before this story and plenty of problems afterwards. But he shows how anyone who journeys with God can act freely and generously. He demonstrates what it is to be Christ-like. He shows his brothers what it is to love. Like Joseph, not one of us is perfect. And yet, like Joseph, we too are called to the work of reconciliation. For we are the body of Christ, and his Spirit is with us, and so we are asked to be like him, to risk everything, to be vulnerable, trusting one another, forgiving one another, and letting go of past hurts and old wounds. But we do not do this alone. As we gather each week around word and table with Christ at our center, his Spirit moves among us, guiding us, stirring us, reconciling us, and binding us together in love. And as the Spirit does its work, we are gradually formed into a sign of the kingdom. We are gradually becoming a people known for love. So next week, let's commit to one another freely and wholeheartedly. Let's promise to keep gathering around bread and stories, to keep practicing hospitality, and to keep seeking justice and reconciliation. The last 12 months have brought much life and much growth, but they're only the beginning. God has a future for us in this region, a future which is just starting to unfold. So next week, come on board, even as you look and wonder how good it can be. Amen.